The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy.
Well, they did it again to us. Another year where they couldn't decide which one of us should be the sexiest man alive, and they went with a fourth party.
Every year we get the emails, and it's like, ooh, I don't know. I think they're, and you know what? I think when they send those emails to us pitting us against each other in a sexiest contest, I think they're looking for payola journalists.
Yeah. Well, I should tell you guys, I actually got the call. They said they were going to name me sexiest man alive, but I would have to do an interview and a photo shoot.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's a lot. Very topical. No. We can't go one more second without giving congratulations to the sexiest man alive, Blake Shelton. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'm so proud of you. I do think where he sold it, where did we go wrong? Where did Blake go right? I think where he sent everyone Polaroids of his biceps. And I do mean everyone. If you
on Earth
did check your mail recently in the last few weeks, you almost certainly got a Polaroid in the mail of Blake Shelton's bicep. Each one was individually sort of captured and rendered. And
along with a personal note that was sort of telling me, just give me some support for the things that are happening in my life right now, which I don't know. I mean, Blake Shelton is obviously very rich, famous from voice, and definitely has some sort of panopticon in his house or laboratory that he uses to watch every living person, send them personalized notes and bicep selfies. And thank you, Blake Shelton, you beautiful fucking Waffle House that a wizard turned into a human being.
So proud of you. So happy.
Proud of you, you tall stack of flapjacks.
Who do y'all think is the sexiest man dead?
There's a lot. I mean, we probably wouldn't know them. Some like Italian painter from the, you know, the 15th century or something.
Oh, that, yeah. I mean, Leonardo da Vinci was fucking ripped.
Super ripped. He had to be to lift up his big helicopters and stuff.
Yeah, can you just picture him just like he's painting the Mona Lisa, but also he's just like glistening and he's got like a 16-pack.
Was that him?
Yeah, he did a lot of great stuff. Like when he drew the Vitruvian Man, which was a self-portrait, he drew himself with all his arms and all his legs.
Yeah.
And the reason if you see a lot of erasing marks on the penis is because he kept saying like, did I do it big enough? And he would ask people, like, does that look... He wouldn't expose himself, obviously, but, like, he would ask them, like, you look at my body. Look at what I'm working with here.
Look how swole.
Look how swole. Look at all the arms. Count them. Count the legs. Do you feel like I put the penis on enough on this fucking sexual goro that I drew?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, guys, I'm looking at the page now for the People magazine. They just updated it, and Blake's off.
He got booted
from the sexiest spot, and they gave it... Hold on, it's still refreshing. The data is being injected into the... It is... It's Martin Short now.
Huh.
Congratulations, Martin.
I didn't realize it was a real-time tracker, Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, Blake Shelton's get cut in a terrible lawnmower accident on his face and body, and then people is going to be like, oh, he's got terrible cuts from the lawnmower, so now we're going to get him Martin Short. And the image they use from him is him as Jack Frost from the Santa Claus 3. And they said that
the
this
most
is,
erotic.
Yeah, he says Martin the sexiest Short. One of him. Did you guys get the list sent to you that ranks everybody? You know how when you're like important members of the media, they send you actually the full list, and it's about 5 billion pages, and it lists like every living male, and shows you where you place. There's a little highlighter, and it takes forever to find it. But I got 12,364,322.
It's not bad. Dead center.
There's billions.
I'm dead center. I am the average man.
Yeah, you're like 1.5, 1.8 billion in there. I mean, I'm in right the top there. Billion, so I feel pretty good about that.
Congratulations. That's huge.
Jess, I'm sorry you got the ugliest. Yeah, oh, last my. Place again, but I'm like rooting for you, but it's oh, the boy. Ugliest one again.
Oh, golly.
Hey,
oh,
guys, boy. Is it possible that ranking people by their looks and talking about like the gender of the person, is it possible that this list might be inherently problematic?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
But that's why we have put our fun, irreverent spin South Park humor on it. Yeah.
I see. Because we didn't take it seriously, we've, as they say, taken the piss out of it.
We've pissed on it there all over go. It. We've stolen its piss of the list. Because your piss is on my list.
The big problem I have with it is they almost always pick in November, like late November around this time period.
Yeah.
And to me, not picking Santa just seems like a huge missed opportunity. Because if you're at People and you're like, listen, I got to get some juice with the big man.
Yeah.
You pick Santa, right?
Yeah.
You pick Santa and then like, oh, ho, ho, I'm going to take extra good care of you this year.
Yeah.
And also,
Mr. People.
You get to meet Santa.
You get to meet Santa Claus for the photo shoot.
And do you think that would be one good way in the future? I don't know his status right now, but like that would be one good way to catch Chapo. If you want to grab El Chapo, just like name him.
Got you again, El Chapo. And the other thing about doing it in November is most...
Showed up for the photo shoot.
The other thing about doing November is most of our nation's lawnmower accidents happen in December. People get their new lawnmowers for Christmas. They get all excited, but they don't read the manual for the safety instructions. Blade comes off, cuts them real bad. And then all of a sudden, your list is stupid again.
Do you think when they named it Blake Shelton, they sat him down and were like, we need you to drive 5 miles under the speed limit. Don't eat any old food. We just need you to be super careful because we've already taken the pictures. We've already written the thing. We just need you to hang on till the end of November.
So, again, we were overlooked. We're not going to get all bent out of shape about it like we always do. We're going to move on and continue to do our podcast that we do.
Do you think we're the sexiest podcasters?
Fuck no.
Not even in the top 10.
Damn it.
Sadly, but...
Are we the Maybe sexiest brother podcasters alive?
Probably not. I mean, probably not.
No.
Probably not. Apparently, you have the ugliest person, according to Griffin.
Well,
the physically ugliest person. So, like, the average is going to be drawn
and
down.
And I just want to say, Justin, I think you're beautiful and you have a beautiful body. But People Magazine voted and they agreed ugliest on you. So, and I didn't say it.
Speaking of this, I didn't tell you guys this, but, when I told my dentist that we had shot the TV show and I was shooting another thing, which you should hear about soon, and I was telling her about this, she said that I should probably have my teeth fixed.
Cool.
I had never even like considered it before, but she was like, you have nice teeth. You just need to pull them together
2018,
a little bit.
The year Justin gets adult braces.
Can I get adult braces? I don't think so. I don't think that I could get adult braces.
Oh, I would love for you to know my corn chips struggle. My boy.
I'm not detracting from anybody who has adult braces. Like, please. It had just never occurred to me. But, you know, I'm trying to make progress there. So maybe I will get to a point where to reach peak physical perfection, which is so important, so essential.
Well,
and
look at what Da Vinci did with his body. It's a work of art.
Oh, my God, guys. People Magazine just updated Martin Short. They put up a little brief message from the editor saying, like, we made a mistake. And now Justin is it. Your confidence made you very sexual and really wants to fuck you. People Magazine
Thanks,
does.
Beans. Let's get into the question.
Well, before we do,
okay,
stick around after the show for a special Candle Nights announcement.
Don't
go nowhere. Make sure you listen to that ending.
Why aren't we doing it right now? Why are we doing a teaser for our
live show? I love a teaser.
We're going to do a Candle Night show. Is that straight? Okay, we'll talk about it at the end.
My mom teaches Taekwondo at an elementary school.
Fuck
and the
yes.
other day, one of her students declared that he could beat her in a fight. keep in mind, my mom is a fully grown martial arts teacher, and this kid is like 7. His logic was that boys are stronger than girls, Hachimachi.
Oh, man.
So he must be stronger than my mom. My mom said, of course, come at me. And the kid did his best to kick her, so she just picked him up. he thinks he's won this fight, and some of the other students agree. How can my mom teach this boy that girls can be strong, too, and win back the respect of her class without actually hitting a child? And that's from Surprised by Sexist 7-Year-Old. Okay, there is a lot going
on
to unpack here.
Can we start with the basic premise of Taekwondo school at elementary school? Well, I guess we don't know.
Would you rather teach jump rope, Griffin? Pull-ups?
I guess.
Huh?
I don't think that it's... Okay, all right. I think it's great to teach kids Taekwondo. It's a great physical, mental... I'm a huge fan of Taekwondo. This should be no... Like, there should be no question about that. I think that is very good. I think that where you start to get into some muddy water is when you fight a 7-year-old to prove how tough you are. That does seem to
be... How tough women are, which you really shouldn't need to agree.
This is where the issue gets complex, is because by being an adult fighting a 7-year-old, you're not necessarily proving anything regarded to gender. I think what you're more proving is in the vein of adults versus kids, which is always going to be...
Like, the confidence of that kid.
I mean, it's not confidence. It's sexism. Boys are stronger than girls, so I can beat up any girl. I had a gym teacher once who said that the best woman basketball player on earth could not beat the worst male basketball player. This was in middle school. Shit. And it's like the dumbest, like, dude, come on. That's the dumbest. You know that's the dumbest fucking shit you've ever said, like, I've ever
especially
heard in my
since
entire
I,
life.
Travis McRae, am the worst male basketball player.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And
People
I know
Magazine
for a fact.
Has a list of best basketball players. Travis is last place again. Okay. Here's the solution to this.
Okay.
Especially since all the kids are getting in on it, some of the other students agree, you say. I do agree that you doing your cool Taekwondo to a child doesn't prove anything, but go to Bath and Body Works.
Okay.
You buy up all the pillows that they got on their shelf.
You mean Bed Bath and Beyond, right?
What did I say?
Bath and Body Works. You buy up all the lotions and potions.
Bed Bath & Beyond, buy up all the bed pillows that they have on their shelf. Well, just let me introduce myself. I'm a person who's about to suggest that you put pillows all over every boy in the classroom and fight all of them Ong Bak style. And if they have the pillow armor, you don't have to restrain yourself. You can really just wail on them. Not to injure, but to humiliate. And you take down all of them, and all of a sudden, maybe now we've proven.
There are very good answers here, but like the answers that we would have would be, if you want to teach this lesson, what you need to do is train one of the girls in the class that is approximately this boy's age to beat the stuffing out of him. And like, but
well,
again,
yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be so cool for like a second,
and then cool for all following seconds.
All 5 seconds after that, you are unemployable. Now, I will say, in the defense of your students, and sort of in their camp for a second, as I understand it, picking someone up is not sort of a legal competitive Taekwondo.
It's like soccer.
Move.
You can't use your hands in Taekwondo. That's just like
no. I mean, no,
that's
a fact. No holding. Holding is not a thing in Taekwondo. So, like, I don't think that. You did win the fight.
In Taekwondo, you can't do the thing where, like, you put your palm on their forehead and let them kind of swing their arms at you, but they
good.
Can't reach.
No, that's so good. But like, not Taekwondo. Really.
Here's the best solution for this. Little boy comes up to you and says, "I want to fight you because all boys are stronger than all women," and you say, "Okay, go to the principal's office. You have detention now." And then they go to the principal's office for detention, and then you turn to the rest of the class and say, "Anybody else want to espouse some dumb shit? Anybody else feeling froggy and want to leap right in?"
I don't think you can imprison children for ideas. I'm not sure how. Like,
oh no, you would falsify you would falsify a report and say like, "You call me a fucker and did a big cuss in front of the class."
I'm pretty sure that's strength.
That's pretty sure freedom of speech does not apply to an elementary school class. If this kid gets up and says, I want to fight you, I think you'd be like, cool, bye.
I want to fight you to prove that men are stronger than women. Okay, you are going to sit in a special room during lunch and not be with your friends, you piece of shit.
You are in trouble now because you're being an asshole.
Yeah, I don't know where this kid got this message unless he's ever turned on a TV or watched a movie or read a comic book. Like, I don't know where he's getting these wild ideas from.
How about a Yahoo?
Wait, did we fix it, though?
Yeah, send them to fucking detention. You don't have to do a physical fight. How about a Yahoo?
Yeah, this one's going to keep me up at night.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's not good because it's everything. It's all of it.
Yeah, it's almost like all of it. It's almost like it's a pervasive issue that reaches through every part of our society and culture.
It's one of the very weird outlier pervasive issues that influences every aspect of our culture that you can't fix by punching a 7-year-old in the face. Mm-hmm. And there are so many that would be sort of fixed by that.
Global warming.
Global warming for sure, obviously.
Wage gap.
Wage gap, definitely. Here's a Yahoo from Lauren McGregor. Thank you, Lauren. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user, so I'm going to call them David asks, I got fired from a restaurant. Does that mean I can't eat there anymore? No additional details. Justin, were you the Olive Garden? Was that sort of a you decision or a them decision?
Olive Garden was, well, Olive Garden hired me as a dishwasher, and then I saw the dishwasher that was going to train me shoot a ramekin of Zuppa Toscana, shoot it like an oatmeal cookie shot, just kind of like jam it off of somebody's tray that came back, and I was like, I cannot learn at the feet of this man.
Yeah.
And I lied, and when they asked me what job they hired me for, I lied and said chef.
Head chef.
I did sort of con my way into that gig. My bad. So they would have had grounds to fire me at literally any moment, definitely, until they saw how good I was at grilling swordfish piccata or chicken tenders. So they would have a hard time saying goodbye to me then. But I did quit that job. Okay. And it's not because I disliked the cooking. I liked that part. But at the end of the night, you'd have to get down on hands and knees and spray the floor off with a hose, and you would get soaked in what everyone in the kitchen called OG water.
Mm.
And it was a very unpleasant
powerful
all around.
No, it was powerful. Unpleasant for us at home because you would come home, and now I lived in an Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Where I was family always.
And when you're there, you're family, literally, because it's your house. So that is why I resigned from there.
But if you had gotten fired for stealing gnocchi, I don't think you could. I don't think going back legally, you can go back. But why would you want to?
Why would you want to? That's the thing. You're going to sit there and, like, if you're like out to dinner with a companion, you're going to look at them and be like, do you want to know how they made this? Like, you know too much. You know how, you literally know how the sausage gets made.
Yeah.
Okay, but what if it's the only Olive Garden?
Oh, and you gotta eat. Olive Garden, you gotta eat. So, they have two. When you're here, you're family, and you have to eat something, and we're right here.
Wait, there is a fast food restaurant whose tagline is, you gotta eat.
Yeah, I think it's right. Rally's.
No, is I think Rally's, it's you gotta Garden. Eat? No, I think Rally's is, you have to eat.
You have to Rally's eat this. You have to eat this.
In 2001, the tagline of Rally's and by extension Checkers is, you gotta eat, which is sort of depressing.
Yeah, they gave up.
I mean, like, you have to eat. Why not come here? You could do it here if you wanted.
You should change it to, you should eat something.
Yeah, Olive Garden is, your body has to eat or you'll die. And when you get food here, we give a lot of it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Please, it's Olive Garden. All our food is just wet everywhere. So please.
Olive Garden, please take this away from
please,
us.
Please, please. We cannot be trusted.
I have some breaking news. This is not a Munch Squad. It is just some breaking news about Olive Garden that I Googled Olive Garden because I want to see some new menu specials that I could I want to try it. What if I want to try this? You know, it's new. There's an Arkansas couple named Jordan and Justin Garten, and they had a unlimited pasta pass So they started going to a restaurant that you have probably guessed the name of, and yes, it's Olive Garden. And then they gave birth. They're giving birth to their daughter. December 6th
no.
is the due date.
No, 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 no,
and the name
no, 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 no,
is,
no, 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 no.
You may, if you remember, their last name is Garten. This little baby's name is going to be Olivia Garten.
Oh, okay.
And she is going to save all of us. Olivia Garten, when you are born December 6th and then the beam of light is in a shaft comes down from heaven, you are going to be the one that will deliver us from everything. It's all been leading up to Olivia Garten, and she's going to turn it all around.
The mother of pasta is Olivia Garten.
Now,
we looked at a list of Italian girl names, and none of them really felt perfect until we landed on Olivia. The pair also considered Olive, but even though they liked the humor in the name sounding like the restaurant, they settled on something subtler. Can I say? I approve very much.
Yeah, very
you
good.
Have chosen the funniest version of what you are doing.
Do you think that she'll be able to, and this may sound a little wild, but stick with me here, speak to pasta?
Mm-hmm.
Commune with a bowl of Alfredo sauce? Like, understand, like, read its thoughts and communicate with it like Aquaman?
Probably. I mean, yeah. What's the point otherwise?
Okay, so it is going to sort of transition into... Weird how that...
I want a munch.
Squad? This is a weird... You've lowered it an octave.
I want to munch. Sorry, my voice is kind of fucked up. This one comes to us from Jonah.
I would like to munch.
It's not necessarily, munch time.
Not necessarily a fast food one. We're branching out a little bit here, but this is just too good to pass up. And I am going to send y'all the link to this one in Skype just so you can see, because the imagery on this is so fucking good. This one comes to us from the Kellogg's Company, creators of Pringles. This Thanksgiving, holy Pringles shit. Is giving, bringing all your holiday favorites to the snacking table. You know, the thing that exists with the new and exclusive limited edition Pringles Thanksgiving dinner.
Holy
if you can't
shit.
Make it home for the real feast.
And are looking for the saddest way to fill your day.
Congratulations. This dinner is so deliciously close to the real thing. It may become part of your own tradition.
Holy
so,
shit.
Each Pringles Thanksgiving dinner, which is a tray with a picture of a real Thanksgiving dinner on it, just to make sure
just
you're very
you.
Depressed. And the press photo of this shows the tray surrounded by a spoon, knife, and hilariously two forks.
Yeah.
So I don't know necessarily what you're going
to
need.
If it wanted to show you what you were really going to use as a supplement, it would show you just a pair of nasty jeans that you're going to rub the the coating onto.
So each Pringles Thanksgiving tray, it has the mouthwatering crisps. They're not chips. They're crisps because they're rehydrated potato granules. They in eight new Thanksgiving-themed flavors. Here are the flavors, which I'm going to say, and they are going to be real.
Let's give them a. Can we give them a rating as we go? Because some of these are pretty out there.
Yeah,
like,
okay. 1 to 10. 1 to 10. Turkey.
Eight. Would chew.
Mashed potatoes.
That is Pringles. You have described Pringles. You have
already.
Not described Pringles.
Eight, yeah.
Stuffing.
Complex. Six, maybe.
That I'm going to say be... 7 if they nail it.
Cranberry sauce.
Negative 20, 100 billion, gross, no.
Point one.
Save some room, Griffin, at the bottom of the scale, because after that is creamed corn.
Absolute zero.
No, is it Travis? Because right after that is green bean casserole.
Dumpster.
I'm more
dumpster
interested
out of 10.
In green bean casserole than I am in creamed corn.
Following that, mac and cheese.
All
right. You probably y'all could probably swing that. Yeah. Then right at the end there, bringing up the real rear in this fucking, Violet Beauregard of a dinner is pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
The last
love
one.
Dessert Pringles is a thing.
It should just, okay, looking at the packaging, how much packaging there is for so few chips, it should just say like, oh, also, we hate the environment.
Fuck the environment. Love
fuck
these
the
chips.
We use 12 pounds of packaging for 2 ounces of chips.
Let's check in with Kurt Simon, Senior Director of Marketing for Pringles. Easiest job in the world, by the way. These little bad boys sell themselves.
Yeah.
Pringles are known for bold flavors and endless flavor stacking possibilities. So this holiday season, we wanted to introduce snack lovers to a new way to enjoy Thanksgiving favorites. The Pringles Thanksgiving dinner flavors are not only new, but cover every course of the real meal, from the main event to sides and even dessert. Kurt was really struggling for things to say, so he decided to just re-describe.
That's every fucking PR blast about everything that's ever been in the munch. These are chips that we made strange.
Can we talk about, they have right below this an image with suggested combos.
Some recipes.
And so, one, the leftover sandwich. Okay, turkey flavored chip, stuffing flavored chip, and mashed potato flavored chip. All right, okay,
wood crush.
Cool. I'm gonna skip the second one, come back to that. Number three, the touchdown. Green bean casserole, mac and cheese, cream corn. Okay.
No,
in your mouth at the same time.
Yeah.
Your human mouth. You know, the only one you get until you die.
That one is
the one you're going to put three chips of those flavors into.
It says in parentheses underneath, only eat as prank or dare only.
Yeah. And then number two, titled The Holiday Sweater, cranberry sauce, pumpkin pie, and mashed potato.
It's called the holiday sweater because your body reflexively rejects it and you vomit it on whatever shirt you're wearing at that time.
Each of these combinations is named after the thing you would rather eat than the chips. So the leftover sandwich, obvious. I would rather eat a touchdown than those three things. And I would definitely rather eat a holiday sweater than cranberry, pumpkin, mashed potato, Pringles. Yuckaroony. Okay. Here's the worst part. Are you ready for like the dagger through your heart? For this exclusive rollout, the Pringles Thanksgiving dinner is a pilot taste test and has only limited availability. The dinner is not available for retail this season, but who knows what the future of Pringles stacking and snacking will bring. So you're going to try this fucking out. You're going to show this to me, and then you're not even going to let me buy it? Really?
As a joke? Pringles?
As a joke?
You are going to challenge my concept of what it means to eat with my human mouth. And then not let me buy it and make my friends eat it? Assholes.
It's so cruel. I just wanted to buy it.
Let me buy it. You've done such a great job selling it. I want to eat the holiday sweater.
P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. If you can just get your hands on one of these and get that over to me.
Yeah.
Boy, that would just be the top.
And I have a Pringles. I got a special way of getting mail to me. And it's just if you put these in any dumpster, it'll find its way to Austin HQ guaranteed.
All right. Here's another question. So last weekend, I got pretty drunk at a family wedding, and I guess I ordered like 6 dozen small plastic crawdads. They arrived today. They're actually pretty nice, but like, what am I supposed to do with them? That's from Copious Crawdads in the Oregon Capitol. I've been there. I think we've talked about that the Amazon app should have a breathalyzer on it.
Yeah.
I buy some things.
So I drank a few too many glasses of wine, and then said to myself, I'm an adult, and I could buy things if I want, and went on Amazon, and for some reason, impulsively bought pipes, because I'm an adult, I guess, and then when they came, I forgot ordering them. When they came, they were like tiny pipe replicas, which I did not realize when I bought them, I guess, and I still hold on to those to remind myself that I am not an adult.
Yeah. You're a child, yeah. A little boy. Maybe we could get these two together and we could put a little pipe in each one of these crawdads' mouths. And now all of a sudden we got our arts.
What do you think the phrase, they're actually pretty nice, means in relation to small plastic crawdads?
Well, we've all seen shitty fake plastic crawdads. These don't look real. These don't look appetizing.
But these are top quality small plastic crawdads.
I mean, next time you have a pot boil, what's it called? A low country boil. You throw one of these in, and it's like the king baby.
Mm. I feel like you probably wouldn't be able to return these, right? Like Amazon would be so stoked about getting rid of them that they would probably not let you return.
These are
them.
Jeff Bezos's crawdads, and he hates them. I hate all these.
He doesn't want them.
More $10 billion, but money can't buy you happiness. Only getting rid of all of these plastic crawdads that I have.
Curse will be lifted.
These cursed crawdads.
What if you just started handing them out to people as business cards? And maybe on them you could write what would you have room for? Your Twitter handle, I guess? That's about it, huh?
Yeah, probably.
But they would never forget it.
No.
And then they would have it, and it would be their problem.
Now I have the crawdad. Let me hit you with this. Do you possibly...
Let me throw away the crawdad.
Do you possibly have a local sports team that does not have a mascot?
Ooh.
Oh.
And if it does have a mascot, maybe it could be sort of an unofficial, like the towel man for the St. Louis Blues, just like an enthusiastic fan who has a really weird sort of get down. And so you show up, and Oregon Capital, which everybody knows is the city... The city of the Oregon city.
Salem.
Salem?
Good. That's the sound of Griffin double checking Travis.
Salem, Oregon. You're in Salem, Oregon, and the Salem, Oregon, you know, witches probably? That probably would be disrespectful.
Well, it's also a completely different Salem.
Yeah, other end of the country.
Well, who knows? Anyway, it's the Salem Fruit Bats, and the Salem Fruit Bats are there, and they're, you know, they got Fruity the Bat. They got Nanners, the bat that comes in and, you know, eats one of the members of the other team, and everybody has a good laugh at it. But then you show up and you're wearing a suit that is covered in little fake crawdads. And you're like, what's up, everybody? I'm the crawdaddy. And people are like, okay, don't sit close to the crawdaddy. This sucks. Don't look at the crawdaddy. I don't know who this. You do that one game and you will be shunned. You do it at two games. Oh, there's the crawdaddy again. Weird. You remember him from the last game? Third game. Oh, sick. Crawdaddy's here. We should get a picture with the crawdaddy. Fourth game. Guys, we got a home run because the crawdaddy was drinking a beer. We got to get another beer in the crawdaddy's hands. Fifth game. Fucking crawdaddy's up on the Jumbotron, got his own Chiron. Oh, the crawdaddy is here. I don't know why he's a crawdaddy and not a, you know, sort of a bat themed guy. 20th, 30th game. Crawdaddy's not here. I wonder if is he sick? 21st game, you show up. Oh, crawdaddy's back. The crawdaddy.
Okay. I love this.
The crawdaddy's running for mayor. Did you see that? Yeah. He helped us win all those games. So
he's got my vote. Could you invent a new thing in Rocky Horror and try to act like it's a thing? That everybody does, like, you throw the toilet paper, and then in the one scene where the crawdad shows up at the giant talking one, and it's all sexy.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, stilettos and stuff. Every time he comes on the screen, oh, in my town, where we come from, we always throw plastic crawdads. Oh, you guys don't have any? Let me sell you one for $5, so you could definitely get the full experience. You sell one to everyone in the theater. And the crawdad obviously doesn't appear in the film, but you're gone already. You're home counting.
And you're on to the next town. You're just on to the hustling. Next town.
We got trouble right here in Oregon City.
Do you think that there are people that, like a person that would just see, like, oh, it's midnight and I'm bored. What's this? My local Cineplex is showing something called Rocky Horror Picture Show. I'll go check that out. And then goes to the workers and complains, like, you need to get in there and do something.
You're all being very, I'm trying to enjoy the sexy film and you're all being very rude.
I can't hear the picture.
Trying to listen to this very sexual film.
Crawdaddy.
You could try bartering.
Okay.
You want a turkey? At Walmart? Well, how many crawdads am I going to have to give you to get this turkey?
There is a number.
There's a number.
It
probably is a negative.
Yeah.
It probably is.
It probably won't be Walmart, but like a small mom and pop shop.
Honestly, that's what I miss about mom and pop stores.
Yeah.
You know, you used to be able to trade your drunken crawdads for goods and services. And now Walmart's like, I want your paper and shiny metal bits.
Yeah. Ugh. It's just capitalism won't let me pay for things with crawdads. And there is a number though, right? Because it's like, there's a 20-pound turkey. Here's a good one. I see you got a good eye for turkey. That'll be $56. And you're like, here's six dozen crawdads. And they're like, well, no, we need money for utilities. Here's 12 dozen crawdads. That's a better offer than the first offer, but it's still like, I do need the money. Here's 300 crawdads. Well, hold on now.
Hold on, is that more than 12 dozen? Let us run the numbers real quick.
That's a lot of crawdads, but here's 64,000 crawdads. It's hard to say no to 64,000 of anything.
Right. Can you resell? Do they have a secondary market where you could resell them, like Etsy? Oh my God, put little gems on the eyes and sell them on Etsy.
What do we call them?
They are called...
Glitter daddies. No.
Glitter daddies. No. No, that's something else, I'm sure.
Crawbuddies.
Sparklebugs.
Sparklebugs.
I didn't fuck up. You know, I didn't buy the Crawdads. I don't have to come up with the name, all right? I've already overextended myself.
Yeah, Sparklebugs. You heard about Sparklebugs? It was all over news, where if you touch it, a wish comes true.
I can I say this? I know our listeners. If you bejewel the eyes of these 72 plastic crawdads and put them up on Etsy, you will resell 72 of these bad boys.
Absolutely.
I guarantee. Also, would help if you glued a safety pin to it and made a tasteful brooch.
Now,
maybe that's maybe
brooch.
Yeah, tasteful brooches.
Or put them all. Here's another one. Like hot glue them all over a suit and become crawdaddy and go to your local sports team and become a local celebrity.
Maybe glue them to the side of like some cheap sunglasses and like maybe right across the lenses craw living.
Yeah, or you could put them all over a suit and become crawdaddy and then you would become local celebrity, get in all of the local car commercials.
Yeah.
You know where Crawdaddy shops for his Ford trucks is here at Salem Ford. Tell him, Crawdaddy. And that's your voice. That's the voice he uses, Crawdaddy. People are going to go wild for Crawdaddy. So no more ideas, please.
Thanks.
Yeah, no more ideas. Thanks, guy, Trav and Juice. I think we got it.
Yeah, either one of those is going to be really great.
Well, just please not either one.
Please don't mail us. Please don't mail us crawdaddies.
Fuck you. Ruin my box with crawdads. Fuck you guys.
Okay, let me get
that's
that
my favorite
there.
Line from Shades of Grey.
Ruin my box with crawdads.
All right, quick jury. Let's assemble the jury. If that joke's going to make the show or not.
I think it definitely is in the show.
Let's hear
no
the arguments
question.
From Justice Justin.
You already heard my arguments. It was the beautiful sound of human laughter. Yeah. It has to be in.
All right. The motion passes.
Speaking of passing, let's pass on through to
pass away into the money zone.
I would like to tell you about Bowl and Branch.
Now this, so, I've heard of this, and it's you take a big bowl and you throw it up into the tree until it stays there. And it's a fun game for children and adults.
Yes. Okay, I didn't know you already knew about it.
Yeah, it's the new hot game where you try to get a bowl to stay up in a tree, and expert level, you can put water in the bowl and it'll drip down on all the kids and they have a great time with it.
No, Griffin. No, you silly boy. Bowl and Branch.
Hey, fuck you.
Okay. I recently moved into a new home, and Teresa and I decided it was time to update our sheets and towel game. So we went to Bull and Branch. I tell you what, I don't know shit about sheets, but I do know that I can tell the difference between when I'm sleeping on my Bull and Branch sheets and when I'm sleeping on some like bargain bin clearance rack sheets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're a delicate man.
These sheets are great. And each sheet is crafted from 100% organic cotton. And you'll get twice the comfort and style at half the price. And you can try them for 30 nights and see for yourself. If you're not impressed, return them for a full refund. So right now, go to bowlandbranch.com. That's bowlandbranch.com today. And you'll get 50% off your first set of sheets plus free shipping when you use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. That's $50 off plus free shipping right now at bowlandbranch.com. Spell B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code MYBROTHER. Go, do it. Get some sheets.
Can you use the sheets to come up for bandages?
Sure. If you need to escape from your prison cell, they're good and sturdy. If you want to make a really comfortable blanket fort, if you want to put a sail on your homemade raft, you can use them for anything. Don't use them for parachutes. It doesn't work. Trust me.
Travis died doing a parachute stunt with sheets. Yeah. And now there's an AI construct that we took all of his old live journal posts and we fed it into the AI. And that's what Travis is.
I love My Chemical Romance.
Yep. See, there you go. Hey, I want to also tell you about stamps.com. This is a damn freaking good way to get your stamps that you need for the letters. Because with the holidays here, you're going to be sending a lot of letters, but maybe you don't have time to scoot out of the house and go somewhere like the post office. I almost never have time to leave the house or do anything because I'm busy with my just sort of life and just what a freaking mess it is. But
well, and I'll tell you what happens to me.
What happens?
I don't ever think about stamps until you need them. Until
you need them, like, and you don't have them.
Right. Then it's like, well, now I have to add something to my, go get stamps.
Yeah, but you can use stamps.com instead, because you just go there and you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, and any class of mail using your own computer and printer. They make it really easy. You can print postage any day, anytime. Stamps.com is always open. It's a website. Did you need me to tell you that? You fucking animal. Anyway, right now you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage. Let me try it again.
Okay.
It enters a...
Oh, no!
It's a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in my brother. That's Stamps.com. Enter my brother. Enter my brother! Enter him.
It's all one word, too. My brother. One
yeah,
word.
Yeah, come on. Justin, you still in the... Justin went to the restroom. He messaged us discreetly to say he's going to the restroom. And because he's been in there for a while, I think we all know what kind of restroom he's using.
I think it's a doozy of a toozy.
Well, I didn't want to get gross about it, Travis. But I just
said
wanted
it cute. I said it cute, though.
I just want to say you can infer a pee takes a certain amount of length of time. And it's been, this break has certainly exceeded that length of time. No, I definitely think it's the butt one. And that's for sure. Do you want to read this Jumbotron?
I do. It's for Aaron. And it's from Nick. And Nick says, thank you for marrying me and letting me be your one and only squirting turtle man.
Squirting turtle man. Oh, Justin really would have loved this one. Let's tell Justin about when he gets back from...
Okay. Maybe if we just say it real loud, he can hear us wherever he is.
Yeah, Justin, you back? Oh, he's going to love it. We'll get it again, Aaron and Nick. Don't worry.
I like this because it's a reference to Monster Factory. But anyone who's never seen Monster Factory is probably a little confused.
I don't know. I think it's still on message for our sort of brand. Anyway, here's another message, and it's for Dad, Rick. And it's good. I mean, you got to put that in because it's just like, here's one for Dad. Then it could be anybody. Anyway, it's from Leanne, who says, hi, Dad, a.k.a. Rick. Thanks for listening to this podcast with me whenever I trap you during our longer car rides. I'm glad you enjoy most of the jokes, and I will gladly suffer through all the winking you've decided to do after that one episode to more podcast laughs. Hey, Dad, Rick. I'm glad that Leanne has at least acknowledged that 90% of our listeners are some form of prisoner locked in our comedy Iron Maiden being pierced by our skillful goofs. Justin, you back? I thought I heard something. I thought I heard a butt hit a seat. No, still in the toilet. Should I call Sydney? I've got an iPad.
Uh-huh.
And it has a GarageBand on it, and what's funny is that you can do like and then what I do with that is I can go like
that is fun.
So it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Still in the bathroom, huh?
That's Mario.
No, I got that. That was good.
All right, I'm back.
You missed a good Jumbotron, Justin. You want to hear it?
Did you do the second Jumbotron?
We've done everything.
All right, great. Well, let's
but you should that. You should say something for the Jumbotron so that people feel like they got their money worth. If you can just say something like, hey guys, great Jumbotron, and maybe play around in the space a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Rick. Something like that.
Say like, oh, yeah, Rick, and then be like, oh, those were great.
Edit them together?
Yeah, I'll edit them back. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely drop you back in. And okay. All the stuff we did about you being in a bathroom and doing a bad butt stink and the whole, like, I did, like, a lot of fart jokes on the GarageBand. I'll edit all that out too. And what people are going to hear is going to be really fluid, very NPR.
Okay. No one will ever know you did a doozy of a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll just go. I'll give you some like generic stuff.
Yeah, give me some generic stuff and
wild again, lines. It's
the yucky mess you just made in the toilet. We're gonna get all that out of the show.
Yeah.
Because we don't want people to know that you do that kind of thing.
All right.
So just give me some.
Congratulations, Aaron.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Nice.
Thanks so much for the support, Nick.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that's good.
Hey, way to go, Rick.
Yeah, and I'll just put that in. And when I put that in, I'll drop it in one of the parts where we talked about all the horrible noises and the toilet bowl stink. And
Justin, can I just say, let me assure you, we're not going to use this, but they asked for, could we get one line where you apologize for what you did with your butt?
Yeah.
We're not going to use it.
But you're not. Okay, well, I don't really understand. Okay.
They just want it for comparison, that's all.
Okay. Sorry about what I did with my butt.
Yeah, and so let me get one more, because I have the audio tools I use has noise canceling, but you have to have the sample of the noise first, you're canceling out. So if you can just say, like, I made a toilet mess, and then I'll use that to, and it'll catch in the filter all the other stuff that we said about you making a toilet mess, so just say that out loud.
I made a toilet mess.
And like then, that, yeah, and I'll use that. And then nobody else is going to hear it for the rest of the.
Perfect.
So
perfect,
good.
Perfect.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Oliver Wang.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. We have a brand new show on the Maximum Fun Network that we'd love to share with you. It's called Heat Rocks.
Morgan, we should probably explain what a Heat Rock is.
It is a banger, a fire track, true fire.
Right. Dope album. Each episode, we will bring on a special guest to join us to talk about one of their Heat Rocks. It might be a musician,
a writer,
maybe a scholar.
I mean, I would have been happy to just talk to you about your Heat Rocks, but this is a different show.
Yeah, so. I think people might enjoy hearing maybe the guests instead.
To do that, you'll have to go to MaximumFun.org. So if you want to talk about hot music, you should check us out.
Heat Rocks.
Hello, Yahoo.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
This one was sent in by Kevin Budnick. Thank you, Kevin. It's from another anonymous Yahoo Answers user. I'm going to call him Dancing Hip Hop Goose, super fun, educational, because that's the Amazon ad that I have at the top of my website right now.
Perfect.
And let me say, this goose does look like a really cool educational hip hop goose. It's got a backwards hat on. Okay, so anyway, Dancing Hip Hop Goose, super fun educational, asks, is it possible to eat a banana without feeling rude? And this is funny to even think about when sometimes people eat it. And I'm not talking about it in the way that I did it, where I changed the course of human history, but the way where everybody eats it and maybe somebody will make a foul joke. And I hate these. And so I think it would be much better if we had a different way of doing this where you didn't open yourself up for that to that opportunity.
I'd like to make a pitch.
Okay.
Fully unpeeled banana. Mm. Eat like corn on the cob.
Now we're talking.
So you eat the skin first?
Fully unpeeled. No, you completely remove the peel and then you hold it longwise. And then, like, take bites down and rotate, take bites down, rotate.
Yeah,
that's a good option. In a film I like to call Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, a gentleman named Myrtle eats a banana that's so repellently old that all the comedy in the scene, and there's movie. Plenty to go around,
yeah,
is derived from the age of the banana and not necessarily the phallic shape of the banana, I think.
Hey, so, and can we just congratulate Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 for not taking that, no pun intended, low-hanging fruit?
Yeah, they evolved the gag.
They evolved the gag a bit. So you're saying just only eat old bananas like our friend in Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 does?
Very old bananas like Myrtle the security guard or the shipping
whatever
drone.
His whatever job doesn't matter. None of this fucking matters.
That's one option.
Can you unpeel it and put the whole thing in your mouth sideways like a big smile? And then people will say like, oh, what a beautiful smile you have. But they won't know it's a banana.
Or maybe just like put it in a blender and then drink it?
Yeah, or mush it up in a cup with a fork.
Or mush it with your hands in front of them and say like, don't get any ideas. And then smush it in a big ball with your hands.
Uh-huh. I like that. Or maybe, like, start to eat it and then look at somebody and be like, no, you'll make this dirty, and then throw the whole banana away.
Can we just only eat banana runts? And then you just can pop those right in there, and it's not even a thing.
What about deep-fried banana? Is that a thing?
I mean, you're still, they're still going to have the same sort of physical shape.
Yeah, right. But no one's ever eating deep fried pickles and somebody's
like a wiener.
There's lots of ways we could evolve the banana, though. Like, if we're going to get into culinary solutions, I think that's too broad. I mean, like, you could split it in half and dump some ice cream on it and enjoy a delicious banana.
Whoa, slow down.
I would still know.
You would know.
You're eating the rude fruit, I would say. Good one. I'm just eating a banana split. I'm at Baskin Robbins with my family. My son just won the big baseball game. I know, but dude, you're eating the rude fruit, bud. You know, like, you ever seen anybody eat it the normal way, bud?
You get it?
You know what that looks like. Nice.
That
dude
is the worst Baskin Robbins employee possible. Yeah. If they just order, like, I'll have a banana. Oh, nice. Nice, dude. It's hilarious.
I think you should carry a megaphone around, and whenever you're eating the rude fruit banana, and somebody says, like, like a penis, you hand them the megaphone and say, why don't you tell the world? And you know, really stand by your joke. You're very funny. Very funny joke. Why don't you go ahead and broadcast? Here, I'll open up all the windows of the house, turn this one full blast, and you can let everybody know your fun joke, you fucking child.
Rip their phone out of their hand, find their mom, or call their mom.
Or their pastor. Tell your pastor this great joke you just said. Tell your mom the joke you made about the rude fruit and how it looks like a cock, Dennis. Yeah, good joke, I guess.
Yeah, pretty good joke, Dennis. I deliver pizzas. But I've made a terrible mistake. I let it slip that I've started doing stand-up comedy to one of our regulars.
Oh, Jesus.
And he asked me to do a set on his front porch for him.
Oh,
my God. Oh.
I didn't make him laugh, but he tipped me really well and told me to keep it. The problem is that now he only orders when he knows I'm on shift and requests me as his driver. That doesn't seem like it should be in the pizza laws. That's from me. That's editorializing. That doesn't seem like something you should be able to do. That seems like there's a lot of problems with that. He asked me to do a new set every time. I haven't made him laugh yet, and he keeps offering me advice that doesn't help because he's never tried comedy, as he keeps saying, but I'm running out of material. I am tired of bombing to this one person on his porch in the middle of a shift, but he tips really well. I don't know what to do, brothers. Do I lie and tell him I've stopped trying? Will that make his tips disappear? No. Please help. That's from becoming more and more dour in Dallas.
You can't tell him you stopped trying. He'd be so disappointed in you.
I bet it's Jerry Seinfeld.
You think it's Jer?
I think it's Jerry. We all know he lives in Dallas now. Big Cowboys fan. And he's trying to, this is how he has to break you down before he can build you back up again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he lied and said that he has never tried comedy. And I don't know why you didn't recognize very famous man, Jerry Seinfeld. But
well, he's got the goatee now.
He does have the goatee and he looks great.
Oh, that's what it is.
Jerry, you look real good.
Maybe your problem is you're trying jokes and not every comedian is going to find their way with that. Could you, when you arrive and he opens the door, just get a big hammer and smash his pizza right now.
Nice. Oh, that's very good.
That's very good. That could be
very
funny.
It's great every time. I think you need to reframe this. You're a professional comedian.
Yes.
What level? Wait, hold on. Before we move on, what level of comedic desperation do you think Gallagher was at when he said, well, I guess I could just smash melons with a hammer. Like, you have to be pretty frustrated with the whole joke game to decide that that's how you're going
in this scenario. He had a whole bit about unsmashed melons. And he was like, you know, I've ever seen a watermelon before? What's this big green thing? I'm supposed to cut it up for my family at a barbecue? No, thanks. Who wants spitting out seeds the whole time? Sounds like a lot of work to me. Boo, Gallagher, you fucking stink, dude. Nobody cares about your melon jokes. You're right. Fuck, smash. Oh, damn. Hold on. You're onto something, my dude.
So
here I am sitting on my regular sized couch and I keep losing things in between the cushions. This sucks. I wish the couch was bigger. Oh, great advice, Jerry Seinfeld in the audience.
I think you have to fail a lot to get good at stand-up comedy. That's how I understand it. That's why I'll never get into that particular field, because I think you do have to bomb repeatedly. And I can think a few safer spaces to bomb than on someone's porch, and at the end you get money.
Yeah,
don't
right?
have to hold the pizza anymore. It seems like a pretty good place to try out new material, honestly.
Let me float this. Is it possible this person who is ordering the pizzas is a big, big pervert who is so drunk off of the power differential here where they're like, yes, tell me a joke. Tell me a joke, Domino's boy. Very good. Not very good, actually. It sucked. I'll never laugh at your jokes.
I'm disappointed in this pervert, man.
Well, because that should go without saying.
How high are your comedic standards that you have made the pizza delivery person tell you a joke and then you think, not good enough, maybe next time. Give him a laugh.
Who is this masked stranger who says, do a stand-up? Who's got the gall to say, do stand-up for me, pizza person? I know you have other deliveries to make, but can you do a tight five for me? Who is this?
It's unthinkable.
It's unfathomable.
How about, you want to do another Yahoo, another question, or what we want to do?
I mean, there is this one that was sent in by the delivery man, Seth Carlson. Thank you, Seth. It's Yahoo Answers user Gio, who asks, is there a place that will turn my ashes into a bong after I die?
Into a bong?
For weed.
No, I get that, but not into weed, like...
Into weed? You want them to... First of all, that's not how fucking chemicals work, I don't think.
So you
want to be a bong...
That would be a pretty cool funeral if it's just like, thanks, Derek! Like, and then you're just passing Derek on the left-hand side.
Oh, man, do you have a name for your bong? I do. It's Derek.
It's Derek Peterson, my best friend.
Please don't bogart the Derek. That's not what he would have wanted.
Thank you for the kind, Derek. I do want to say that Yahoo Answers user Open Container Laws says, why do you care what happens when you die? You're going to hell anyway at this rate if you don't stop taking drugs.
Says me, Open Container Laws.
Yeah. Can you turn my ashes into vape juice after I die so I can be as close to a ghost for a few seconds as I possibly could?
Gonna need a fucking pretty high PG to not, you know, fuck up the coils with that kind of
No, I mean, I'm gonna content. Fuck up the coils. It'll be a one-time... One time
burn.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a heady rip. Like
that would be pretty choice though, if you could get one really good choice rip and then blow it out over the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah,
because then any time that your wife saw a cloud, she could tell your son
that's your daddy.
One of your many daughters, that's your daddy. He watches over us.
He watches over us from the sky. your Uncle Justin blew him up there, the big rip. He did a rings trick. And everyone
did a huge rings trick.
He did a big rings trick, and everyone said, cool. I love you, Griffin. Goodbye. It's time to let go.
But he's cotton now, honey.
I miss Papa Griffin. You don't have to, because he's everywhere and all around us. Anytime you see someone rip a huge... Oh, my God. Put my ashes into... the vape juice repository in New Mexico, the reserves. So from then on, any time that someone rips just some huge cotton,
that's
and
Justin.
really cranks it, they crank some cotton out. There's a little bit of me in every cloud that gets puffed out over every children's birthday party. It's all got a little bit of me in there.
And then when it rains, what is that? Sweat?
Yeah. If people vape enough and put enough of that in the environment, can we safely assume at some point that the rain will be more vape juice?
More cotton candy, Granny Smith apples. I want to live in that world. But also there's a little bit of me in there because I died and Justin ripped me up into the sky.
That's so beautiful.
Hey, when I die, can you guys just put me in another person?
Like your brain.
Like inject you inner space style?
I mean, more just like I want to be another person. Or just me again.
Yeah, that's fine. But.
Uh-huh.
When Gallagher smashes that urn and sends Travis.
No, I changed my mind. That is exactly what I want.
Nobody wants to die, but. If you could rest, go to your final rest, knowing that Gallagher or his son, Gallagher 3, because there's already Gallagher 2. His son, Gallagher 3, will smash your ashes over the crowd. Like, that would be very comforting, I feel like. Anytime you see someone that enjoys great prop comedy, you can rest assured that somewhere in there, they've inhaled a little bit of Travis.
Okay, but what if instead of being cremated, it was just my body?
Gallagher got fucking edgy. It is like, fuck.
He walked out.
You
of,
really don't want to sit in the front row, like, for real.
He walked out of Marin and off the deep end, and now he smashed Travis up real good. The McElroy brothers were such influential podcasters and comedians. It's the year 2360, and I just want to go to their gravestones and just wish them well. The problem is they don't have them. Trav got smashed by Gallagher. Griffin got vaped up into the sky.
And nobody's seen Justin.
Justin's still alive. He's still it's alive. Amazing. He found the crystal skull. So he's still going.
Gallagher would too. That's the worst thing about it, about this imaginary situation. Gallagher totally would. He didn't give a shit.
Well, he's not allowed to say no. If you give him $30, he legally has to smash. He's equal opportunity. He has to smash whatever you put in front of him. A lot of small businesses use him for like waste management solutions.
Oh boy. Ah, oh, Boise. That's beans. Gonna do it for us this week, folks. I hope you had some fun. And I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Did want to hit you all with that Candle Nights announcement. We are doing a Candle Nights show in Huntington on December 22nd. We're still ironing out some of the final details there. It's kind of a last minute thing, but we did want to let you know so you could kind of like arrange your schedule appropriately. If you think that's something you want to come in for, it'll be great. There'll be several podcasts of our families. And it'll be a hoot and a half. So we wanted to go ahead and let you know that that was happening so you could get ready for it.
We'll let you know when we have all that. Just follow our Twitter stuff and we'll let you know when it's ironed out and when you can expect to grab tickets when they go on sale. Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a very good album for you to enjoy this long winter. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us. You can go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great podcasts there. Shows like The Greatest Generation and Beef and Dairy Network and Tights and Fights and Stop Podcasting Yourself and a bunch of great shows at MaximumFun.org. And if you want to check out the other stuff we do, just go to MacroyShows.com.
Speaking of other shows we do, we just put out the third episode of Till Death Do Us Blart, our yearly movie review podcast. It's us and Tim and Guy from the podcast The Worst Idea of All Time. We watch and review Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 every year for the rest of linear time. This year was a fun one, folks.
This is the best of our three episodes. I watched it synced up with Dark Side of the Moon, and it was perfect.
It's so good. Hey, speaking of Tim and Guy, those cats were at my house for Thanksgiving. Had those boys in to show them all around America Thanksgiving, to let them see what all the hubbub is about. And they are wrapping up their podcast, The Worst Idea of All Time. They're putting it to bed. And if you're in the New York area, you can go see one of their last ever shows Wednesday, November 29th. At the Bell House. So if you go to the Bell House website, you can get tickets there. But you should go check that out. It's $15, and I guarantee you will have a good time. They are very good boys.
Absolutely.
So please go enjoy their show.
You want that final?
Absolutely. Yes.
Here comes that final. This final Yahoo was sent in by the delivery man, Seth Carlson. Thank you, Seth. It's Yahoo Answers user Annette, who asks, how do I send Ellen DeGeneres a picture of my cat? Thank you very much, Annette Decker.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey, Max Fun fans. It's me, Jesse, the owner of Maximum Fun. I've got a question for you. Will you help us make our shows better? We wanted to find a way to find out what the Max Fun community thinks about our shows. So we started something called the Max Fun Listener Panel. Basically, you subscribe to a podcast feed and twice a month or so, roughly speaking, we'll send you an episode of a show and instructions on how to fill out a quick survey about what you think about that show. 10 questions, nothing too crazy. You'll be hearing existing shows that we're thinking about making changes to, secret pilots of shows that we're developing that you'll only hear this way, shows we're considering adding to the network, and what you think about them really matters to us. So, to join the panel, it's easy. Just go to MaximumFun.org/listener panel. That's MaximumFun.org/listener panel. Thanks for helping make Max Fun better.